Good afternoon and welcome to Citizens July 9th, 2024 Finance and Investment Committee meeting that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene immediately following the Audit Committee meeting and will be recorded with transcript minutes available on our website. For those attending today's session through the public link, you are automatically in listen-only mode. Chair Knight, we have no speaker requests for today's meeting. May I proceed with the official roll call?
Yes, please.
Chair Knight?
Present.
Board Chair Bruff?
Here.
Governor Cumber?
Here.
Governor Lydecker?
Here.
Chair Knight, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Welcome to the July 9th, 2024 FIC meeting. I apologize I'm not able to be with you all in person. Thank you for being here. And the first order of business is the approval of our April 9th, 2024 committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second. Thank you. Second. Presume we're all in favor. And then meeting minutes are adopted. Thank you. I'd like to welcome Kapil Bhatia, our financial advisor with Raymond James, for our market update.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman and Governors. For the record, Kapil Bhatia from Raymond James & Associates. We are your financial advisor. I'll briefly start with the market update, but please stop me at any point of time to answer any questions or to expand on any point. CPI was unchanged on a seasonally adjusted basis in May after rising 0.3% in April. Over the last 12 months, the all items index or the CPI increased by 3.3%, again before seasonal adjustments, more than offsetting a 2% decline in the energy index. Housing prices continues to put upward pressure on inflation by rising 0.4% for the fourth consecutive month. Core CPI rose by 0.2% in May and 3.4% over the last 12 months. Shelter, the largest spending category for the average household, is by far the largest component of the core CPI, which has risen by 5.4% over the last 12 months. There are approximately 175 components in the CPI, overall CPI. 38% of those components actually have declined, but shelter is one of the sticky ones, and that's keeping the inflation still on the upward trend. Total non-farm payroll employment increased by 206,000 in June, and the unemployment rate increased to 4.1% with 6.8 million unemployed persons. These numbers are higher than a year earlier when the unemployment rate was 3.6% and the number of unemployed persons were 6 million, and is the highest rate over the last year and a half or since October of 2021. The labor force participation remains unchanged at 62.6% and has fairly constant over the last 12 months. The Fed has left its benchmark interest rate unchanged over the last 12 months. So the last time they increased was in July of 2023. As of June, the interest rate is 5.25% to 5.5%. And since March of 2022 to July of 2023, the Fed increased the rates by 11 times. The market is currently expecting the first of the potential two rate cuts this year, first one to occur in either September or November, but economic data will really drive the timing and the number of cuts this year, whether it's one or two. The Fed is still on a campaign against elevated inflation, while ensuring the economy does not slip into recession, but just a slowdown. The Fed has also indicated that it will slow the process of letting its balance sheet roll off, which has seen approximately $1.5 trillion of bonds roll off to a current balance sheet of approximately $7.4 trillion. Since the fall of 2022, the Fed has been allowing up to $60 billion of treasuries and $35 billion of mortgage-backed securities to expire and not to be replaced, effectively reducing their balance sheet by $100 billion per month. Now the Fed will reduce its roll-off of treasuries from $60 billion to $25 billion while keeping the mortgage securities constant at $35 billion, so the roll-off process will slow, and that is the first step towards before they start cutting the interest rates. The Fed is projecting inflation to steadily cool, while the labor markets to remain historically strong and personal consumption to remain high. We expect GDP to increase by 2.1% this year and slow down to 1.6% in 2025. Which we believe the U.S. economy will slow this year, we do not believe the slowdown will lead to a technical recession or the negative two quarters of GDP growth. And the economy will lead to a soft landing. Two of the reasons for soft landing is resiliency in the housing market and continued non-residential investments. The lack of supply of homes, especially in the existing homes market, has increased real residential construction and new homes construction, as well as sales are continuing to keep residential investments in positive territory. The impacts from Fed's rate increases, however, are neutralized by the effects of CHIPS Act, Inflation Reduction Act, as well as other fiscal spending, which is leading to an additional construction of manufacturing plants in U.S. So that is keeping the economy in a relatively better position just because of the fiscal spending. The yield curve remains inverted, with the spread between 3-month and 10-year treasury to be approximately 109 basis points, and spread between 2-year and 10-year treasury at approximately 33 basis points. Since the beginning of this year, 1-year treasury has increased from 4.8% to 5%, and 5-year has increased from 3.93% to 4.2%, and 10-year from 3.95% to 4.2%. So even though it has normalized, it's not increasing, but it is still marginally going up, and we expect it to come down by the early next year. The current unrealized losses in the portfolio has continued to decrease, but are still negative. However, these values again are non-economic and non-cash, as these negative values pull to par as the securities mature. Our portfolio duration is much shorter today than it was a year ago, so the evaporation pace will increase. The current negative mark-to-market is approximately $600 million and is expected to decline by $50 to $75 million every 3 months as the portfolio matures. And without any change in the interest rates, if interest rates starts to decline, the negative mark-to-market will decrease by $100 million every 6 months. Lastly, our income return is stable, and historically high interest rates are economically beneficial as they lead to higher interest income. Currently, the book yield for the portfolio is around 3.23%, and $4.25 billion of our portfolio, which is approximately over 40% of the portfolio, will mature over the next 12 months, which will lead us to invest in a higher yielding securities and lead to higher investment income. We expect overall investment income this year to be around $360 million to $400 million, depends on the market conditions. And lastly, the reinsurance markets are stable, but are capacity constrained, with a pricing of flat to plus minus 5% depends on the cedent this year for this upcoming hurricane season. With that, I'll stop and happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from the committee?
Nope.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kapil. Ms. Montero?
Behind tab three, you'll find the 2024 risk transfer program executive summary and layer charts. I'll provide a quick update. So in 2024, reinsurance markets softened slightly despite the higher demand for reinsurance capacity in Florida related to the expiration of the RAP and FOR programs. This softening can be attributed to additional capital inserted into the risk transfer market, especially in the capital markets, due to the attractive nature of risk transfer pricing relative to other asset classes. And optimism around the anticipated impact of Florida's legislative reforms specific to litigation, which have only just begun to be realized. However, there were also some slight hardening as capital was reduced related to multiple forecasts of a very active Atlantic hurricane season. Additionally, reinsurance capital levels are still significantly affected by Ian losses of approximately $132 billion and remaining investment portfolio unrealized losses, which have not yet evaporated due to stable but still higher interest rates. As a result, risk-adjusted risk transfer pricing was relatively flat, or approximately plus or minus 5% for most of Florida carriers, as Kapil just mentioned, and capital market transactions were able to upsize and price at levels close to initial guidance. However, specific to Citizens, risk-adjusted pricing was down approximately 7.9%. As approved by the Board of Governors at its May 14, 2024 board meeting, Citizens sought authorization for a total of $5.5 billion of coverage with a cost not to exceed $750 million. Citizens was able to place a cost-efficient risk transfer program of approximately $3.564 billion, which includes $3.064 billion of new placement and $500 million of existing multi-year coverage through Lightning Re from 2023 at a cost of approximately $482 million. Approximately $1.964 billion was transferred to the global traditional reinsurance markets, and approximately $1.6 billion was transferred to the global capital markets. All of the 2024 risk transfer layers cover personal residential and commercial residential losses and are as follows. The sliver layer sits alongside the CAT fund. It provides approximately $630 million in excess of $3.514 billion of annual per occurrence coverage. This layer was placed in the traditional market. Layer one sits above the sliver layer and the CAT fund and provides $1.122 billion of coverage from the traditional and capital markets as follows. $397 million of single year per occurrence coverage placed in the traditional market attaches after losses of $4.144 billion. $225 million of multi-year annual aggregate coverage placed through Everglades Re 2 attaches after losses of $9.809 billion. This is the first year of this three-year coverage. And $500 million of multi-year annual aggregate coverage placed through Lightning Re. This coverage utilizes an industry loss index trigger based on PCS published insured losses in the state of Florida for Florida named storms. This is the second year of this three-year coverage. Layer two of the program sits above layer one and provides $850 million of coverage from the traditional and capital markets as follows. $380 million of single-year per occurrence coverage placed in the traditional market attaches after losses of $5.644 billion, and $425 million of multi-year annual aggregate coverage placed through Everglades Re 2 attaches after losses of $11.309 billion. This is the first year of this three-year contract coverage. Layer three of the program sits above layer two and provides $793 million of coverage from the traditional and capital markets.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Can I ask Ms. Montero a question?
Absolutely.
Ms. Montero, will you just, for my benefit, cut to where the exposure, the red line is. I think when we were discussing this, it comes in at one storm in a 74-year event, one in a 74-year event. So for the audience and the rest of the board who's maybe hadn't had a chance to digest this, we have no exposure except at a one in 74-year event, correct?
That is correct. We run out of surplus and coverage when we get to the one in 73-year event. The Citizens policyholder surcharge would kick in. It's a 15% of direct written premium, so it's approximately $895 million. Mm-hmm. And it would trigger at the one in 74. A one in 74-year event would experience approximately $14.4 billion of residential losses. Right.
And then we the board, had authorized how much to spend total, $750 million?
$750 million.
And we spent how much?
$482 million.
$482. So the difference is going to go into reserves.
Yes.
So that's the long and short of it. Does anybody have any questions? Obviously,
Would you like me to go over the emergency assessment as well, Chairman?
Yes, when you get into that category.
Madam Chairman?
I don't know.
Madam?
Madam's up in the sky. So.
She is.
We hear her from above.
Just one question. You know, this year where we are, you know, that's I'm seeing that as well. Just real quick, what were you insured to last year at this point in time going into hurricane season? We're about
$5.308
billion. We were, but we're... No, till we get to the surcharge amount before that, we're at 14.4.
That was when we had separate accounts. We have,
yes,
so in the personalized account, we hit the citizens policyholder surcharge at the 1 in 4 year event and the emergency assessment at the 1 in 9 year event on the personalized account because it grew so quickly. And the surplus was, the majority of the premium was unearned premium and was not in surplus. So
we were much more exposed.
Much more exposed, yes.
Better position. Thank you.
I'm good.
May I carry on with the emergency assessment?
Yes.
Thank you. So once the citizens policyholder surcharge exhausts at the 1 in 83 year event, that's when the emergency assessment of up to about $2 billion would be triggered. A 1 in 83 year event would experience approximately $15.4 billion of residential losses in LAE. And the reason I mention that is to put it into perspective, as a reminder, ultimate direct loss in LAE as of March related to Hurricanes Ian and Irma were $3.6 billion and $2.6 billion respectively. So it would take quite a few of those events to reach that mark. So in summary.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, if I may add a comment. The only difference, of course, is the factored inflation in that time period since those storms hit has been pretty significant. So the claims could be exceedingly larger.
It's true.
Go ahead.
So in summary, the 2024 risk transfer program totals $3.564 billion of coverage with a weighted average gross rate online of 14.07% and a net rate online of 13.44%. The 2024 risk-adjusted price reflects some improvement in the market, despite the appearance of an increase in pricing in both the traditional and capital markets. For coverage placed in 2024, the price is approximately 7.9% lower than it would have cost for similar coverage in 2023. So that completes my update, and if you have any questions.
Thank you.
Okay. So the next tab is the investment summary.
Madam Chair, if I may ask a question and cut to the program. Capital, please tell us what we would lose if we liquidated our investments today.
We have approximately, Mr. Chairman, as I mentioned earlier in the market update, our negative mark to market as of today is approximately negative $600 million. So if we have to liquidate all of our portfolio,
we understand. So that's not going to happen. The burn rate is about $25 million a month.
Each 3 months, our mark to market declines. The negative mark to market declines by $40 to $50 million.
$40 to $50 million.
Each 3 months, because we look at it in
quarterly. So you're talking about $160 to $200 million in reduced risk to us as every quarter goes by.
That's true with the no change in interest rates. If the interest rates were
to diminish, then obviously our portfolio is more valuable.
Correct.
When do you find that? What is the estimated burn before you get down to, say, $100 million?
It will take us, in the current interest rate environment, it will take us almost 2 years to get to that point. And that will be only the long-dated assets, because 40% of our portfolio will mature in the next 12 months. Another 30% will mature over the next 12 to 24 months. It's the remaining 30% of the portfolio which has a long duration.
So the only good news is that is to the extent that the portfolio is liquidating and paying off, you're reinvesting in higher yield treasury bonds.
That is correct. We are looking at, because our credit is still perfect. I mean, we have some corporate exposure around 30 to 40%, and Jennifer will go through that in a minute. But yes, we have a higher rate. So our current book yield is around 350, and we expect our book yield to increase as the portfolio matures by around 25 to 30 basis points each quarter. And next year, we expect our book yield to be closer to 4.5.
Okay.
So our investment income is increasing each quarter by around $20 to $25 million.
Thank you.
Okay, on slide one.
Okay. Go ahead, I apologize.
Thank you. The total portfolio is a $10.06 billion, with approximately $8.43 billion, or 84%, externally managed by nine money managers. The remaining $1.63 billion, or approximately 60%, is internally managed and primarily consists of liquidity for claims and operating funds. The internally managed funds are invested in short-term U.S. Treasury securities or money market funds. The portfolio is very conservative and stable, with sufficient liquidity to pay any current or potential future claims. The total portfolio average duration is stable and is currently just over 2.74 years. As of May 2024, the one-year net income and total income return is 3.34% and 4.24%, respectively. And the 2024 net income return is expected to be approximately 3.6%. The annualized net income return for the last 4 years is approximately 2.75% annually. Next slide, please. Treasury rates have increased over the last 24 months, but have stabilized over the last 6 months. The increase in rates reflects the Fed's 11 rate increases to the current Fed funds rate of 5.25% to 5.5%. The Fed is done with increasing rates as inflation has started to come down, and therefore the interest rates have stabilized a bit at relatively higher levels, but are expected to start coming down in late 2024. The yield curve is still inverted. The current 2 to 10 year spread is negative 33 basis points, and the 3 months to 10 year spread is negative 89 basis points. Both spreads are still at significant negative levels, as the financial markets have either expecting a soft landing or slowdown. Next slide, please. The portfolios are have very strong credit quality. Overall, 78% of the portfolio, taxable portfolio, is in money market funds or rated A or higher. Approximately 44% of the total portfolio is in treasury and agency securities or money market funds. And finally, slide 4. The portfolio income return is stable, and the net income for 2024 is expected to be over 3.6%. Incremental interest income continues from rising interest rates with increased investment in shorter duration securities. Lastly, the portfolio still has negative mark-to-market value, but it is declining as interest rates are coming down and the portfolio is maturing with declining duration. The 2024 total return is expected to be over 4.5% as existing securities mature. And that completes my report.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or new business?
No, Ms. No, Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Then we will call the meeting adjourned
Thank you.
For July 9th.